La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I'm a speaker of Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Dayton, I say up and running.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, or Daddy or Governor, host of the talk show Inside That Premieres every Friday till 8 p.m. except holidays. Telephone numbers at Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316. And 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. I want to give it a quick community announcement to a wonderful gentleman, our former Assistant Commissioner of Police, Mr. Ferguson. He is the bishop of a small but very, very profitable community center that's called Big Harvest Community Center, that's Sherwoods Alley in the area of Grandstand, coming off Market Street. Third corner on the right, Market Street, Woods Alley. He will be doing his 24th rally in the alley. It starts at 3 p.m. All those who are interested, and for the kids in the community who are being participating and going to that particular community center, we know Mr. Ferguson has been doing the best that he can, and he has produced some great, great police officers, defense force officers, those who he teach discipline, and he's continuing to have an impact on the community of Grandstand. So that's Big Harvest Community Center. Let me just read it. Sunday School Rally in the alley starts the 25th of January, 3 p.m. Everyone is invited in the community to come out and be a part of that wonderful festival. So please come out. And like I say, Mr. Ferguson has been there many, many years. I highly respect Mr. Ferguson as a community leader, and he is one who's doing his part to give back, to change the directory of the way our young people are headed, and provide the best opportunity that he can provide with his sponsors that comes and be a part of the rally in the park. You know, I think it's 24 years now Mr. Ferguson has been there, has built his community center and remained through Woods Alley. And like I said, he's a former Assistant Commissioner of Police, and he has served the force with integrity, much like, you know, what we really want to see from the force. More officers like Mr. Ferguson, who, you know, was a part of the force, did not abuse his power, and when it was time for him to give that up, he take on a different mantle, and that mantle was to go back and give back in the community, you know, that he swore to protect when he was an officer. And then he took that oath again and went into the community, and he remained in that community and doing the best that he can to make sure that the kids can get some type of support in that particular area. And we give him the utmost thanks, and he is a wonderful person. He's also a clerk of the church. Bishop Ferguson. So again, Big Harvest Community. Again, the 25th of January, 3 p.m., Woods Alley, off Market Street. Okay, I want to thank everyone who tuned in to Inside the Inner City, and especially the Guardian Radio. I know a lot of you will be anxious to hear me on the airwaves because, you know, I talk real-life stories, real-life solutions, not topics that a lot of people don't want to talk about. I'm also honest. I'm also not biased. You know, I try to be neutral as much as possible on the show because I want to show the general public that they are good human beings out there and we can have a discussion, but we don't have to hate one another, you know. We could put aside our differences, you know, and have a wonderful conversation. And if our leaders in this country can do something like that to set a prime example, then I think that we could be heading the right direction. Right now where we're headed, it ain't looking so good for us. So I just want to talk about some topics that have been happening over the years that we've been discussing on this show. Sometimes we didn't have no evidence, but we knew what was happening when it comes to the prison. I would bring guys from the prison who spent time in prison come on the show to talk to all of you guys out there and hear it from them. Hear it up front from them, live and direct. Persons who have been in prison, they told you the conditions the prison in. They told you the condition what goes on in the prison, right, to make sure that we have a good understanding. I've had a few persons who have sentenced 10 years, 7 years, 20 years on this show over the course of my inception on this show. I talk about my past experience being in custody of the police. They are good beliefs. They have some beliefs who are just having a hard time dealing with all type of issues, probably mental health issues, and they're not really fit for the job, defense force officers as well. Then sometime it comes down to the fact that something has been developing over in government agencies over the years where we could say corruption, where it has swollen to a point where it's evident. You know, we've been hiding for a long time, you know, and, you know, we were hiding it. You know, we were protecting those departments because, you know, it's hard for government officials, you know, to really go against agencies like the Royal Bahamas Police Force and Defense Force and the Immigration Department. It is up to the citizen to expose these things, and through exposure, we see some action. But if you leave it up to them, we really won't see no action because they are government officials and they have to protect government. And they know that when you got government officials, there's a lot of suing involved and they don't want to go through all that. But it goes deeper than that. Many people are involved in the political parties, and, you know, so they are more like protected than fraternities and government agencies, you know, like the Lodge. And then you have a Brotherhood on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, Brotherhood in the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, Brotherhood in the Royal Bahamas Immigration Department, and other departments in government where they are sworn to secrecy, and individually they protect one another. They rarely speak out against one another, and that has become corruption because when one started, everyone started and it passes on. So I just want to give a real comment before I begin the show. There was a comment made by one Mr. Excuse me, in the Nassau Guardian, one Mr. Trey Roming. He is the Director of Communications in the office of the Prime Minister. I think he's a wonderful young man. I think that he's going places. He's in the right position. He has surrounded himself with the right set of company who he could learn a lot of stuff from, you know, help promote his career. He might want to go in politics one day. I wish him all the best luck. You know, I like to see young Bahamians, you know, achieve their goals, you know, but the thing I do not like is when there are things going on in our country and then we try to sugarcoat it because, you know, the government is in power and, you know, it's a reflection on the government. So as a government employee, a one who wants to maintain the government our credibility, sometimes we turn the black eye on issues that are haunting us, that are hurting us, that are destroying us just for benefits, credit. You know, like, there's no truth. You know, we're saying wrong, and we don't want to acknowledge it. And for that, we all going to punish. It is evident. So, Mr. Rahman, like I said, I wish him all the best of luck. This is not a talk on him. It's just this comment that he made, and I'm just commenting on it because if you can comment in the newspaper, on the media, then I should also be able to comment. And I don't say nothing unless I read in the newspaper and I see the newspaper, the names of anyone that is charged before the courts. I read the newspaper first before I even talk about it to make sure that it's not just me. That thousands of people see the same thing I see. Now, the only thing I might do is interpret it a little better because I can read between the lines. And I know how to interpret because I ask the Lord for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So I can pick between the lines when I read comments by individuals in the country. And only those comments, they speak on one particular comment. And I feel that, you know, it's something worth talking about. So he stated, nothing really serious. But to show you the seriousness that we as a country have not grown and that we don't want to accept the fact that we head in the wrong direction. And if we continue on this path, corruption is going to be the end of us. It will consume us all. Just take a look at what is happening in the United States of America. Right now, we have that organization, ICE, who is the personal Gestapo for the president of America, Donald Trump. And right now in the United States of America, you have the armed force, you have the sheriff, you have the mayors, them speaking out against these agents who are federal agents. They are the higher authorities over the other forces, the other branches of law enforcement in the United States of America. They're federal agents, so they really can't be locked up or persecuted. And many mayors, many communities are speaking out, and some are even getting the extent of arming themselves because they feel that a lot of their rights are being violated in the United States of America. As great as the United States of America is, they are breaking down within. Civil war is already starting to break out in the United States of America. And like I said, the Bahamas is headed in the same direction, okay? And if we don't start to acknowledge that we have a problem with corruption in our country, and if we don't try to correct it, we are going to be doomed, okay? Because our children is going to be affected, okay? And you see they're already being affected. And when it happens to your child, then you're going to feel it. But when it happens to other people's children because of corruption, you ain't going to feel it. But then when it hit home, you feel it. Then all of us could feel it because it's going to happen to all of us. Because what has been going on in the armed forces in our country was like protection. And we have individuals in the country don't take it serious, and they don't know how serious it is. But I'm going to explain today on how serious it is in our country, and we have to correct it. All right? So he says, yeah, Director of Communication in the NASA, this is in the NASA Guardian, in the office of the Prime Minister, Mr. Latre Raming said, the actions of one person do not define the integrity of the Bahamas. So as we're referring to this, Mr. Darren Roker, a former Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer, was sentenced to 4 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to conspiracy to import dangerous drugs. Let me go to page 7. Let's see if it in here. Okay. All right. Page 7. All right. Well, anyway, he pleaded guilty and now he is sentenced to 4 years in prison. So Mr. Trey Rahman, he's speaking on behalf of the government and the office of the Prime Minister. He's speaking on behalf of the country. And he's saying that one officer do not define the integrity of the Bahamas. It's not one officer, it's many different officers, Mr. Rahman. If in case you wasn't reading the press, we had police officers, we had defense officers, We had prison officers who were charged with either bringing drugs into prison, okay? Numerous prison officers. We have had immigration officer who was just fired, who was a rookie, who just gone on the immigration department, okay? And if you were saying that one person does not define the integrity of the Bahamas, well, think about this for a minute. If this is a young immigration officer, right, and he's a trainee, and if you hear the voice note, you know, it's under investigation, and if you listen to the voice note, and this is a trainee, that means he is training, you don't think that there's a problem with the immigration department. It has to be, because if he's a trainee and he is done corrupt at that young age, he's just a trainee. You know what I mean, Chris? If this is a trainee and we are saying that one officer does not define the integrity of the Bahamas, right? But if he is a trainee, Chris, and he just on the immigration department, right? And he's training, so they're training him. So how could a trainee already know how to extort people unless he saw this from the person them who training them, from other people in the department who he went on patrols with, exercise with, and they show him the ropes? You know, that's how it go. So when you're saying things like that, you really don't understand what is going on in your own country, and you're in the office of the prime minister. You understand? It has a effect, okay? Then we're going to talk about the young police officer who is also before the court, under investigation, not before the court, under investigation from the Tribunal of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. His first, second year, third year officer, and he himself was seen, allegedly seen, stopping some guests from America, and he was doing his job, and we all saw the voice note, and he said, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, he talked to the tourists. Instead of him giving the guests a warning, not necessary, he had to give him a ticket. He could easily pull him over. This was the Bahamas on the boat. You know, police can use their own discretion. When he found out he was a tourist, he said, excuse me, your bike isn't, the light isn't working properly, or the signal isn't working properly, or you have to put on your helmet. The person who you rent the bike from, you would have to go back there and probably get your money back. But I'm telling you that you're breaking the law in the Bahamas. You know, and I'm giving you a warning because you're a guest and you're visiting the Bahamas. You know, those are the kind of things we're looking for from our Royal Bahamas Police Force, right? So if he is doing that to a guest, right, how many other BMs you think he was doing that to? Who have this officer learned that from? That is a behavior that's taught, because no trainee, right, just come on the immigration department who was trained by the so-called professionals on the immigration department. I'm talking about the set who probably is involved in these illegal activities, corruption, right? Because he is saying, you know, he want 500. He ain't want no 150. And it's a trainee. You understand? You know it's a trainee? That's a person who trained. So how could he be so bold to do these things? Okay? All right? And then the police officer, like I stated, he is saying that, you know, give me something and don't be obvious. So who he learned that from? He had to learn that from Mr. Berius. You see, everything is a learned behavior. I know this because I've taught so many guys when I was on the street, Chris. I've taught so many guys on the street how to be bad. I've taught so many guys how to use the gun. Their first time even using the gun. And when I teach them, they teach somebody else. Some of them become worse than me, you know? You understand what I'm saying? So it's a learned behavior, you know? Just like how, like I said, in the community, it's a learned behavior. So we have a very serious problem. Like, yes, persons like Mr. Rahman, like I said, this is not a talk on his character. I'm just talking about the comment he made. And he truly don't understand the seriousness that is happening in our country with our law enforcement agencies. It's dangerous. And we have to correct it. You know, because it's like, it's a cult where they're being protected. And what happened now, where they have allowed it so much, it become like, okay, you doing it, I could do it. And now, it spoil all the control that the Commissioner of Police and the Commandant of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force can really manage the mindset of their, what you saying, fellow soldiers. It's like they're not listening. So, because, you know, where you protect, see, it's like when you protect people with the system, all right, the system starts to backfire on you. You understand? Because God tell you what you do in the dark shall come out in the light. So, okay, I'm going to play this clip and start the show off. I just want to listen to the clip. And this is a response from Mr. Bishop Lash Boyd, start of New Year's. And this is the message he sent, because the church is seeing it. And I'm glad he spoke on this particular issue, because this is, he is talking about the judiciary system in our country, which is also corrupted, and we have to get it right. You can't know who was corrupted, because, like I say, you know, it ties into so many different departments, you know, and we have to find a way on how we can get it uncorrupted. You know, I don't think we fully could get rid of corruption, because it's so embedded in us, but at least we could try and bring it down, and let's bring some integrity back to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, because all the evidence is there to prove that we are a corrupt nation in all departments of government and agencies. Okay, you could play it.
That a poor black man commits the same crime as a white person or a rich or well-connected black man, and the two of them get, listen to this, different treatment, and they get a different sentence. How is that? I get a lawsuit, you tell me how I feel. And I'm not laughing. You're laughing because you know it's true. Some of the red tape and the rigmarole that people go through is manufactured. And you know it. It is manufactured for convenience, for delay, for spite, or because you just had a body.
Yes, and Mr. Boyd, he spoke about the judiciary, and he spoke about the injustice going on in our country. And let me give you a prime example of what he's talking about. You know, and I'm glad the bishop, you know, find the courage and see where we are failing and bring it to light. Okay, let me give you a prime example. The demolition that was going on, I think, is Abaco or Spanish Wells. I can't remember Abaco or Spanish Wells, but the Bahamian. Spanish Wells, yes, Spanish. Thank you, Chris. Right? So here we have the government of the Bahamas. It's before the court. They gave summons to probably vacate the property because they felt that it's a shanty town, probably being reported. They went there, police arm, defense officers arm, immigration officers arm. They went to this particular residence, and they, according to the officer in charge of the operation, you know, he was on TV. He spoke about it. He said that, you know, he already gave them notice, and blah, 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 this. And the lady, you know, who is a Bahamian, probably a Bahamian, but Spanish, well, white Bahamian lady. I'm not taking shot at the white Bahamians in the country. I'm just saying, given a prime example in this case, she lift up the skirt. She cursed, she carried on, all right? Obscene language, vulgar behavior, you know, cursing. She was not arrested. If that was anywhere in any city community, on any one of these given corners, and any person was to even say those type of stuff, they would have got licked down on the ground, probably a couple of stumps and locked up, and get charged with the same charges. But they got, They did not get locked up on the scene. The officer in charge gave an explanation. He said that, you know, this is a civil matter. There's no reason to lock her up, but she was cursing, she was carrying, she's being vulgar. She's being very disrespectful towards the officer. She's being very disrespectful towards the law. Maybe this is an effect of how people are seeing how the police and defense force and immigration with all of the different criminal elements that are happening with officers from these particular department. It's having an effect on how people respond to the police, because now they don't really have no respect for the police and defense force officers because of the volume of officers who themselves are involved in illegal activities in the country. So this also, but she, the gentleman, brother and sister, they acted, they didn't act violent, but, you know, I mean, like I say, it's the police discretion. They decided, must see watch the tape after public scrutiny. They decided to, I think, put them before the court. And then I look in the newspaper, they were put before the court. Then we had a case with a foreign national who was convicted. I think she had Bahamian citizenship. She was involved in the death of her husband. She was a multimillionaire. Her husband was a multimillionaire. She was convicted, speedy trial. She appealed a case within, probably spent about a year in prison. As a condition, you know, it can or deal with the health issues of this particular lady, because she lived a very high lifestyle. She's a multimillionaire. She's insured. And the prison that she was in, which is Fox Hill Prison, we call it the Bahamas Correctional, the female prison, Bahamas Correctional Center, Bahamas Correctional. And she was in the female prison. And because of the money she had, because the prison couldn't deal with her health issues and sanitation issues, she appealed a case, you know. She ran back. She was convicted for the murder of her husband. She ran back. You know, when the appeal, no one now is charged for her husband's murder. You know, just like, you know, she's caught free. I guess she left the country, never came back to the Bahamas. Her husband died in the country. There's nothing, that's the end of the case. But she had a speedy trial. Then if you remember, again, we had a case where former commissioner of police, Clayton Fernando, before he was commissioner of police, I think when he's ASP or superintendent, I can't really remember, he was shot in an armed robbery attempt at his home. When he pulled up in his gate, two or three assailants approached him, accosted him. They shot him. They dropped their phone. The police was able to investigate. They find his culprit. This case was tried in less than 2-3 years. Speedy trial, when in the Bahamas we have a backlog of cases going back years and years. We've had murder cases. We are seeing now where our Attorney General's office now has thrown out 300 cases because they're saying that, you know, they don't want to pursue them no more. So again, you know, it's a tricky situation. So we're gonna play the response from the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vian Munro, who himself was one of the top lawyers in the country. So he knows everything about the law, and he spoke on the fact of what Bishop Lash Boy said. So he has a response from the Minister of National Security in response to the comment made by Bishop Lash Boy when he had the opening ceremony for government officials in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in the new year. Go ahead, Chris.
Sometimes, and here is how you explain it. If you have a rich man who can hire a king's counsel, a battery of them, who can hire specialists, who can hire experts to champion his case, he now, when he comes up against the might of the state, because when you are the defendant, you're against the entire police force, foreign forensics. But if you have a poor black man who can't afford a decent lawyer, because not all lawyers are good at their craft, and can't afford experts, his chances would be different from the chances of somebody with resources. And that is why, as I say, most of my criminal work has been pro bono or under the, by the government hiring me to represent indigent persons. And I thought that was my public duty, because if you don't step up to do the work, then they're left without representation and without good representation.
Yes, and like you said, you know, people go hire QC. So it ain't about you innocent or guilty, you know. You could be guilty, but if you hire the best lawyers, they could find technicality in the case and you could win the case. Because when we look at the case with the lady who I talked about, I don't want to call her name. We all know who I'm talking about, if you could remember. She won a case off technicality. She brought up something with the, about the prison, the condition of the prison, you know, and then find one of the two things in the case. That don't mean she was innocent. She won a case off technicality. You know, so it ain't about innocent or guilty. It's about you have this money. If you have this money, you might could walk. That's what it's about. This ain't about innocent or guilty, because that's what it is. You know? Because I've seen cases where, when I read the newspaper, where I saw, okay, let me give you a prime example. When my late friend, Samuel Mushi McKenzie, before he got killed, he had a particular case in the Supreme Court. He was charged with this lady by the name of Roxbury. I know Roxbury. She lived across in Benton. You know, because when we was on the road, we party around a lot. She used to be in the club just like us. You know, she was a fine, beautiful young lady. She had some sisters. You know, I know her. Very good. She had a relationship with Samuel Mushi McKenzie. It is alleged that he pulled the trigger and he killed her in a Dusher Garden yard. Now, again, when I listened to the newspaper, they did a forensic. This is when the forensic first came out in the Bahamas. There was some blood smell in the car that he was driving that they found burnt. In the ceiling, there was some blood splatter. Some blood splatter was up in the ceiling. They wanted to make sure that this was the blood of the lady who got killed in the car. So, again, this is when they just started to do forensic. They started sending forensic over to the States. So they got the blood sample, and they sent to the States. It didn't come back in the time frame, because this case was like trying like 3-4 years. In the case, when the case came up, it was alleged that the judge said in the newspaper, you could go back in the newspaper, the DNA sample that came was come back to the Bahamas to verify if that was the young lady. I think they said that they didn't get it, or something was damaged or something like that. And the judge said that because of the negligence of officers from the Royal Bahamas Police Force, either they didn't show up to give the evidence or something that, I don't know, but I read the newspaper, but something just similar to this. And they said because they didn't give evidence or they failed to bring the forensic file to court, you're letting a guilty man walk over the court, and Samuel Mushi McKenzie won his case, okay? So, like I say, you know, for the love of money, it's destroying us in this country. And I'm not taking a shot at no particular officer. I'm talking about us as a society on the whole. You know, if we don't take a look at ourselves as a country and start to really be behaving and stop taking advantage of one another and start making the right choices as leaders so that you can set an example for the youngsters in this country. And right now, there's no example. You see the defense force officer who got charged, I think, yesterday, and went to court, Austin. Austin, before he went on defense force, he asked me if that is a good career for him. He used to live by me. Now, the same gentleman who got charged, you see, with this accessory to armed robbery, he used to live by me because everyone wanted to be around me because they know I was a former gangster, but now I turned community leader. And I was very positive and giving them the right direction. So many people would come to me and ask me questions on what they should do in life and what road they should take. And I would give them the best advice because I tell them the road I took, And I showed him a road that many of us took that same road. None of us became successful. The only thing happened to us is 6 feet and 25 to life, and the rest now are just, they tripled because they don't have no purpose in life. They call them lampposts now. They wasted their life. You know, they're just useless to themselves. They're fighting with themselves now. They're completely dead. They don't know what they want to do with their life. You understand? Because they've wasted time. And I tell the youngsters this, and he was one of them I gave advice to. I haven't seen him in many years, but he stayed by me. And when he first went on the force, defense force, he did very, very well. And man, I was surprised to see him. You know, when I saw his face, and everyone said, Scrooge, this your boy used to be by you? And I said, yeah, you know, because I seen him like about 8 years because he was doing very well. He spent some time with me when he first joined the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. And he excelled. Now think about this. For him, you know, who I gave advice to, and you know, he made some serious mistakes, you know. Think about this now, Chris. Does this make any sense? You going to rob, you're gonna rob for $1,700? Listen to this now, Chris. This again doesn't make no sense. You're gonna rob for $1,700. And the two robberies that they say they was involved with, one is conspiracy for them or accessory to commit robbery. It is monthly paycheck more than that. Now you think this make any sense? If I tell you, some people just stupid, brother. Think about it. Your paycheck, what you're getting from the defense force, right? It's more than what you're going to rob for. Now look at this. He might be making $2,500 a month. Listen to this, people. Man, they show the money that was recovered and what was a total $3,000 of the two robbery, right? Now you think this worth this. Your pension gone. Listen to this now. Your pension gone. Eh? Your pension gone. Now you're going to have a criminal record. Look at this now. You robbed for less than $3,000. Now you're spending 25 years. You could spend 25 years in prison. Now tell me how this makes sense. That don't make no sense whatsoever. So let me advise officers on the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Yes, the money might be a little bit, but you all have opportunities. You guys know the sea, okay? You could be on the Defense Force, putting on 15, 20-year career or 10-year career, and then learn the sea, go to the government with a small business plan, buy one boat, eh? You know some of your friends who Defense Force officers, they're still there. You could go out and do crawfishing, you could do crabbing, you could do fishing and turn yourself into a millionaire. You don't need to get yourself involved in illegal activity. Don't look at the easy way out, you know? Look at you could be a Defense Force officer and you could navigate the sea. You know where the snappers is coming out of Andres, coming through the creeks on the next ferry in the world, you know? A no fishing zone. We have places like the Zoma Keys that have been unfished for 200 years, you know. You know, we don't let anyone fish in there. So we don't do long line fishing. So there's fish sanctuary, you know, and if these defense force officers were using their head, you know, they could go into the fishing industry, the shrimp industry, whatever industry, you know, learn it, learn what the defense force got to offer to you, learn the charts, learn the waters, learn the mops, you know. Don't be like this gentleman here, who now get 4 years. This goes to again to Mr. Latree Rahman. All right. This goes to Mr. Latree Rahman. Let me just read Let me just read this. Don't be like Mr. Darren Roker. You know, he's a behemoth, right, people? And I ain't happy at all, you know, but he made his decision, right? And he used his position as a defense force officer to break the law, right? So let me read. Former Royal Bahamas Defense Force Chief Petty Officer Darren Roker sentenced to 4.5 years in prison as his lawyer slams police and government corruption. Now, the only way this guy, lawyer, could say something like that is what he learned from Darren Roker. All right? That's why this lawyer could say that. Because Darren Roker told them certain things. Now, they ain't coming out to say, he snitched or nothing like that. They making it look good. You think they just gave him 4.5 years in prison just like that for a reasoning? No, he did some stuff, you know. They say because he get cancer, you know, and I'm sorry and really sorry for him, you know, for him to be in that position. But like I said, you know, what you do in the dark shall come with the light. I don't wish this on nobody. I'm just telling you, stay away from illegal activity and go the straight and narrow. Straight and narrow is the best road to go, and it's the honest way. You know, so let me just finish with it. So, yeah, as a former chief petty officer with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, jailed for 4 years for soliciting cocaine smuggling to the U.S., his lawyer launched an astonishing attack on the Bahamas government, claiming the entire system is infected with drug money and corruption. He says that the entire system in the Bahamas, the police, defense force officials, government personnel, is corrupted. Roker's lawyer, Martin Roth, before U.S. District Judge Gregory Woods, told a 56-year-old defendant who had begged for mercy because of his terminally cancer that has conducted warranted a prison sentence because he had used a position of trust to enrich himself. Prosecutors also revealed that although Roker and Waldman in the case for which he was sentenced involving 1,000 kilos of cocaine, 1,000 kilos of cocaine was in its latter stage, they believe he had, in fact, been involved in drug trafficking previously for many years prior to that. Ultimately, the judge spared Roker, whose tearful wife, Nicole, was in the public gallery from a jail term of up to 20 years because of his terminal prostate cancer diagnosis, a powerful migrating factor that otherwise would have seen him, you know? So, okay. So, here we have the Office of the Prime Minister, the Trey Romney, you know, stating that, you know, where is it? I guess in the newspaper here. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. Yeah, in the Guardian. Mr. Trey Romney. He says, yeah, actions of one officer do not define integrity of the Bahamas. Okay. See, again, he don't understand how criminal activity runs in the country. All right? Because if you listen closely to what Mr. Roker, lawyer, is saying, he is telling you, let me see what he's saying now. He's telling you that involving 1,000 kilos of cocaine was in the later stages. So that means that they believe that Roker was doing involving legal activities for a very long time. Now, he's caught up in this one now and spending 4 years. But they saying they believe. See, they saying they believe. This is just my conspiracy because he gave them something, you know, and they just don't know, make it look obvious. Because that's the only way you get 4 years. You know, even though you have terminal cancer, the United States get the best medicine in the world. They could even have 4-stage cancer. You would be, just like Simon Knighting knows, he talk about his diabetes. He's quite well in prison because they have the best set of doctors. They're federal prisoners, so they're going to get the best set of treatment. So there's no need for him, you know. So that's the plea agreement in there. All that's linked to a lot of stuff that you're seeing being happening in the country. It was all linked because a lot of people locked up now. A lot of people talking about what is happening with the drug trade in the country. So a lot of people squealing, okay? A lot of people squealing, you know? Because no one wants to go spend time in the United States of America, okay? Because you're away from home and you want to get back here. So a lot of people doing a lot of squealing. Who get catching now? Who name calling right now? They could be squealing, you know? So to Mr. Ramming, like I said, this is not a talk on you. I'm just sharing you what you said when you said that one officer do not define integrity. Well, they're saying this officer here, even though he was involved in this 1,000 kilo of cocaine being smuggled in, they're saying here he been doing that for years. So if he been doing this for years, how could this be one officer? How many other officers he have been involved with? The same officer here over the course of his career that he have been involved with, who he have helped partnership with. Do you think it's just him one? He is saying this too, Mr. Roker is saying this too, because his defense, his lawyer is saying these things. Because these are things what he told his lawyer. You understand? And he gave some name, but you know, the United States of America, they don't ever put a target on you, and I don't want to put a target on you. But I read between the lines. And this is just one of what is going on with our law enforcement in the country. Officers who use their position and has given us a bad, bad name. You understand? That's why I traveling when the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Honorable Fred Mitchell, he spoke a few weeks ago, and he was talking the new ambassador, former football player, Herschel Walker, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. And he's talking to him, say, you know, open that, you know, that, and he said that it would be harder for Bahamians to go to America. But he also stated that we still can use our police record. They're referring to the visa. And I think that with all of these incidents happening in our country, you know, it has put pressure on us. So again, to Mr. Ramming, you know, you need to understand, sir, I know it's your party. I know that it's close to election. But don't take up for what's wrong in the country. Because it could be a child today who end up in police custody. And because of the mechanism they have in place of the protection, you know, something can happen if we don't clean this up. We just need to break away from our old ways now and start to be more diplomat on how we treat others in this country. And don't believe, you know, like Mr. Lash Boyd stated, that there are people up there and there are people down here, you know, and we have to make it more neutral. You know, I know that the poor is always going to be with us, but at the same time, the poor also can't be taking all the blame. And the people to the very top in government position who are protecting one another and putting the blame along with the poor and persecuting the poor more than they persecute the people who are the first line of defense. And nothing happens to them. You know, because we still not heard what we need to hear. Here's what we heard. Listen to the response now. So we have a rookie trainee immigration officer, right? Who is a trainee. Now here's the response from the immigration director, Stephen LaRota. He said he is satisfied that the matter involving a dismissed immigration officer has been concluded and that there was no further need for police action at this time. See, sir, again, y'all ain't even looking at the big picture. If he is a rookie immigration officer and he is doing that now as a trainee immigration officer, And you were saying that there needs to be no further police probe, you mean, in that matter. But what about the other matters? Because if he is a rookie, eh, and he ain't even on as a full-time immigration officer, and he is out there, you know, using his position as a trainee immigration officer to go and exploit Haitian nationals who are here illegally in the country, and he is saying to them, when he's supposed to apprehend them and put them before the immigration department to be processed, to be put before the court if their paperwork is not straight here in the government of the Bahamas, he is bribing them, telling them, you know, give me $500. Listen, give me $500, and I can let you go, and I can make sure all the rest of y'all run it straight, and I can make sure that the immigration bus do not come through there to mess with none of y'all, because once you give me this, you straight. Well, so how the OPM says one officer do not define the integrity of the Bahamas when we are seeing a junior police officer, a trainee immigration officer, full of corruption. Who they learn it from? See, I can admit, when I was a criminal element, I'd admit, like, that's why I talk, you know, I admit the stuff I did when I was doing the criminal element, right? Because I am a real person. You see, I tell the truth. You see? So, if you look at it, people, we are corrupted. Huh? Across the board. And it's close to general election, and our government don't want to offend the police officers. They don't want to offend the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I mean, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Because it's close to election. And they would rather sink the country and do not stand for integrity. And they would try to protect corruption. And that's the bottom line. And that is going to affect all of us. Okay? Mr. Rahman say about one bad officer. Okay? I have a good recollection. A few years ago, in the Elizabeth State Police Station, there was a certain accused drug dealer who was locked up. Listen to this, Chris. There was a certain police officer. I mean, there was a certain drug dealer who was locked up. He was on the run, and he got captured. He was on the run for many years in the country. And he had some money, you know, he did well for himself. So he has a few dollars. So he was captured by DEA Drug Enforcement Unit officers from over here. And he was taken to the Elizabeth or the Fox Hill Police Station. I think it's Elizabeth Police Station. Well, here this out now. Why is this individual was in the police station? He asked the officers to let him go and say that he would give them a certain amount of money. Now, this is a police officer on duty protecting a prisoner who was brought in by the Drug Enforcement Unit, who was a part of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. You're not supposed to touch no prisoner, like, who in custody. If I get locked up from Drug Enforcement, the only person who could come and release me is the Drug Enforcement Unit. If CID locked me up, if the Criminal Investigation Department locked me up, investigated, locked me up, they could only release me, and that got to be the arresting officer. So if he go home that night, I can't be released until he come back on duty. That's how it go, okay? So this individual must have made offer to certain police officer in the station. What do you think the officer did? The officer led this particular individual out of the station and put his son in place. In the station, right over in the Cornwall of the Bahamas. So he was replaced with his son. So when the Drug Enforcement Unit agents come to collect the prisoner, them two looking like, you see? So when the officer checked, they said, no, this ain't him. You know, that was his son. So they switched the father for a son, right here in the Cornwall of the Bahamas. Police officer, I think it was a sergeant. I don't know if he gets you off the force, but he took some money. And this was on duty.
been arrested police officer in the station. Like I say, it's a fraternity. And they're going to keep quiet because you're not going to talk to the police officer. It's very dangerous for you because that's a fraternity. And we have to change that. We have the same thing under the defense force. It's a system, you know. And let me say this to our Bahamian people. And listen closely. You might not realize, right? You know, I just analyze this thing. We live in the Roman system here. Right? We live in the Roman system here in the 21st century in Nassau, Bahamas. We are living the Roman season. Caesar has not gone nowhere. But only thing this time, Caesar is the black man. Caesar is the black man who have the high officials. And then Caesar is also the guy on the streets who become a millionaire or a thousandaire on the streets. And he has power, whether it's a drug dealer or someone who has power. And he uses his power to harm others in the country. That's Caesar as well. So the Bahamas, honestly, there's really no justice because we protect the system. This is Rome. And we are destroying one another in this country. Okay? Like I said, the Defense Force guy is Austin, is my boy. Like I said, when he first went on the Defense Force, him and my friend's son, Marv, Marv's son went on the police force, Marvin, says, he passed away in a traffic accident. Both of them, right there was in a traffic accident. And Marvin says, our son passed away. He was a police officer, reserve police officer. And them two just to join the force. One to join the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and one to join the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. And their ideology was to work together as a police and defense force and use whatever opportunities the force and defense force had to offer. And they would use it to work together and build themselves strong as business-minded individual. You know, and I was quite happy for him. But Marvin says he died in a motorbike accident. And the same officer, Austin, he was in critical condition as well. I can remember this like yesterday. He almost lost his life as well. You know, so that's why when I saw on the news, I said, oh, look at him. You know? So y'all think, man, you know, guys out there who in prison, y'all ain't making no sense, man. You know? Y'all ain't making no sense. Why rob for $3,000 and you could spend 25 years in jail? Come on, man, that ain't make no sense. Your lawyer fee now. Think about this now. Them two rob for about $3,000. $1,500 from the scene, $1,800 from the scene, right? Their lawyer alone. For parents, for a lawyer, like a Vane Monroe or a Mario Seal, right now it's like about $5,000-$10,000. And every time, hey, listen to this now. And this is how they can get milk. This is why Lash Boyd was talking about the injustice. There's the injustice in the system. You know what it is to get milk? That's how the system is milk, yo. You have your case, get a joint, right? I was watching the proceed with 90 and how when Brave Davis was his representative. And I was watching cases like with Vane Monroe, and they have these high profile cases and stuff like that because I watched the highest set of lawyers and Queen's counsel in the country, Fred Smith and all those stuff because I like to see how things run. Okay? Excuse me. Yeah. I even forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, Fred Smith. And like I say, and sometimes, I'm not talking this how they go. So this is how you milk. When you hear the defendant could tell his lawyer, you know, he feel like coming to court, right? So the lawyer would go and make a presentation to the judge or the prosecutor and say, you judge, my client's not feeling too well. Again, I have adjournment. The prosecutor would look in the book. The judge would respond and say, well, okay, we'll adjourn your case till next 2-3 months. Well, that's about $500 right there. Every time the case get adjourned, that's about $500 or $1,000. Every time your case get adjourned. Because I had a case when I told you when I had the case with the police officers and I won my case. That's all he'd be able to resist arrest.
obscene language and et cetera. And I spent close to about, in between now, my case ran about 3 years. And every time, it was like $500 for the lawyer up here. And we had to give him like $2,500 down first. And every time with the court, it was like $500. Not just a small case, but $200-$300. So every time I had to come up with $400, $500. Every time. And that's 3 years span. So how much I lose? Think about that. How much money I lose? So it doesn't make no sense. You guys think, man. Think, you know? Now he's going to spend 25 years in jail now. It gives a blind eye on the defense force, you know? Man, it's crazy. How many more things I'm there? No more clip? Let me play the last clip, please. Okay, no problem. Yeah. Yeah, we have to put discipline measures in our departments, you know. We have to teach, you know. I see the Minister of National Security say now that these incidents have happened, that now the Ministry of National Security is looking to introduce polygraphing testing for recruits. They want to do training, background check. All these things is all good, but it goes deeper than that because you have officers who have the old way inside of them and they're teaching the new generation. What you going to do with that, okay? It has to be. These young officers could not have learned what they have learned, even though the minister said they come off the streets. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Call it, come a second. After the clip, I'll let you come in.
Shown on the video, alleged to be soliciting a bribe. He's a 4,700. So he would have been recruited fairly recently. As the Royal Palmers Police Force said in their release, that behavior does not accord with the values of the Royal Palmers Police Force. I understand that they have investigated the matters and they are going to be holding persons accountable depending on the outcome of their investigations.
Are you able to confirm if he's still... Yes. Are you able to confirm if he's still in active duty?
I'm not a police, so I cannot say. I would be surprised if he is still actively deployed. I would imagine that in their investigations, they generally take them to the little house you see when you come in the gate. That's their quarter guard. And they're generally held there while they do their investigations. At the conclusion of their investigations, they will have to determine whether to levy criminal charges in the civilian courts or to proceed down the disciplinary route of the courts in the police force.
Yeah, that's the Minister of National Security responding to what he saw when the guy was alleged to have took the bribe. Like I said, again, and you heard the Minister of National Security stating that it's not part of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the actions of that individual officer. Well, Mr. Munro, I think you saying that this is not the actions. What more action you need when you have some of the biggest set of senior officers who are spending time in the U.S., convicted? You have... One just was convicted in the magistrate court by Shaka Seville, who was in charge of an airport in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. We have a next senior officer who's in charge of the airport here in Nassau, New Providence. That one was in charge of, I think, Auckland's, who now is sentenced with evidence that was not provided by the Bahamas government, but by the U.S. government in partnership with the Bahamas government. And I, like I said, I only believe that Mr. Goodman, you know, who's a good senior cop, you know, I think he's assistant commissioner of police as well. He has integrity, and he was able to give evidence against fellow officer. And I think that's because the U.S. was present on the helicopter and everything was recorded. And I truly believe that if it wasn't for the U.S. Intervening and was able to apprehend that particular individual, law enforcement agent, who was a part of the Bahamas police force, if he wasn't apprehended by the U.S., I truly believe that we still, you know, would have been in the position we're in today, because I listened to Mr. Monroe, and when the reporter asked him, you know, what kind of what about all these arrests that is happening with law enforcement across the country? And he said, listen to what he said. He said that, you know, he said, what would happen if they didn't get locked up and be before the courts? You understand? Like, they understand it. You know, these political parties have destroyed the country. Political appointments on the Royal Bahamas Police Force from the FNM and the PLP have destroyed the integrity of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. You don't get promoted by merit. You get promoted by what party you're affiliated with. The morals are being destroyed in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and the Immigration Department are being destroyed. I know a lot of officers, they listen to me, they talk to me off the record, and they tell me these things. And until we get to the day that the officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force are credited with merit by their works, how they conduct themselves, right? When they investigate it, they get their promotion. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But until we get there, we're going to keep on having this in our country. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Scrooge, Nico Mosco, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, sir? Long time.
Man, I just went to the gas station to get gas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I heard you on the radio. And I listen to you all the time, so yeah. I'm quite impressed I told you this.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mosco.
No, Nico, man. Mr. Mosco is my dad.
Okay, sorry, Nico. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm listening to the dialogue, and there's nothing I can say that I disagree with, Scrooge. And the reality of the situation is this, and this is my humble view, and it's all on perceived or alleged until the indictments come down and they're locked up like this gentleman over then. You know, it's sad that he had to do what he had to do, allegedly, because of his illness.
Yes.
And, you know, people, when you're desperate, you do desperate things, but it doesn't make it right.
Yes, sir.
The American government has done a mandate. The previous government was a number of, you know, did a lot of very, very serious things to the United States and the world. And the gentleman that's in, he said what he was going to do, and he was voted in. Now he's doing what he said.
Yes, sir.
Albeit unrefined. That's, you know, no one's perfect.
Yes, yes.
The fact of the matter is, there's so much drugs that are, you know, rampant around the world. And the United States apparently is the highest consumer of narcotics in the world. So they're flooding it in, and then this fentanyl and all sorts of stuff. And there's all sorts of sinister things. If it's going to poison them, kill the people in the United States, is this a terrorist tactic, whatever the case may be. Now, when President Trump or candidate Trump was running, he said he was going to make cartels. And when you look at the definition of cartel, it is a wide range, saying if you're doing this and you're the head honcho and you're supplying us with drugs, you're going to be deemed a terrorist organization.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I was on the radio, Guardian Radio, before President Trump when he made this statement. And if you make an act against the United States by virtue of terrorism, it is an act of war.
Yes.
They don't have to ask anybody for anything. They'll go and get you. And like what they did with this, the president of Venezuela.
Yes, yes.
The fact of the matter is, we are Bimini is right next door to the United States. Bahamas, Nassau is 300 mm-hmm. miles away. The Bahamas is the closest place to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run drugs. You're going to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They will get you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, by virtue of that, by running drugs and you're doing this, and they say you're running it for, you know, Mr. A and Mr. B, that's a cartel.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know, we're this little dot on the planet. What they could do to us mm-hmm. is quite serious.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is this. The new ambassador is here for a reason.
Yes.
That giant, giant U.S. embassy mm-hmm. is here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't going nowhere, you know.
Mm-mm. That's the U.S.
And they're letting... They're here because they intend, and quite frankly, I'm a supporter of them, and I'm a supporter of this president.
Yes.
And he's made a mandate. If you're not going to change by yourself, and he's talking to who's in right now.
Yes.
And letting, you know, who's coming after.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't change it, if you don't change within... Change is going to come from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this indictment and the sentencing of the gentleman, there's 13 others.
Mm-hmm.
More indictments are allegedly coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure I would... Within reason, I can't say I'm sure because I don't have evidence of it, but I am within reason. It is more likely than not that the government knows who's going to be indicted.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes out, there's going to be a lot of problems.
Wow.
The fact of the matter is, the same old has been going from Gabim time, mm-hmm. from 1973 straight through. Nothing has really changed. And the perception of corruption is with every Bahamian person in the country.
Yes.
And you cannot tell me that the armed forces, there's no perception of corruption. Doesn't mean that everyone's corrupt.
No.
But there is a strong perception of corruption.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Now, if you're doing these things, you know, we're all human. We make mistakes. But we are on the radar with the most powerful country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, the statement made by the attorney, the prosecutor.
Yes, sir.
Or the Tribune, it was in the Tribune that I read.
Yes, sir.
The other day. The Americans don't just grab people for this, that, and the other. They have evidence. They've been doing it for years. They are the most... They have the most sophisticated intelligence branch or a department in the world. Them, the Israelis, and the English. They got more information on everything. They don't do things what they say half, you know, ASS. They got the evidence. So you can speak and say, well, where's the evidence? What's this, that? They're doing this, that, and the other. It's all political fodder, you know, just hot air.
Yes, sir.
But it's a warning.
Yes.
Clean yourself up. Deal with the corruption. And that goes not only for the armed forces. That goes for the government.
Yes.
And they're letting, and they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And by putting that ambassador here, there's no playing around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as you said, you gotta fix yourself, man. That yeah. goes for everybody.
Yes, everybody.
So it's going to be really interesting over the next couple of weeks before election.
Yes, sir. Very interesting.
And it's quite serious.
Yes.
The country is in a very serious situation. And we don't have accountability. We don't have transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Government ignores us. Mm-hmm. They just do stuff without telling us.
Yes, sir.
But they begging for your vote now.
Yep.
Now you matter. All we want is good roads. We want good water. you know, water pressure. We want electricity. We want these aren't things out of the ordinary. We want cost of living to go down, things that we can afford to live.
Yes, sir.
Agreed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not asking my MP to give me no ham and turkey, you know. But I just don't want to drive down the road and hit a big hole in the road and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
So there's so many things, there's so many variables, but it's not cleaning up the country from the bottom, you know.
From the top.
You got to start from the top, you know.
Yes, yes.
And then go through. And then the police force, there's good cops. There really are. But what has to be done is they got to bring foreigners in, go through all of everything, and find the problem that goes for the armed forces, that goes for immigration. We got a serious problem.
Yes, we do.
We have housing problem. We're overpopulated on a 21 by 7.
Yes, sir.
Of course, there's no houses. We got illegals. We've got people that are here on work permits. The housing market is through the roof. There's so many things.
Yes, sir.
It's all interconnected.
Yes, everything is connected.
So I've been taking up too much of your time, but keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job, Scrooge. Thank you. My boy, Matt.
Thank you. Just me.
And thank you for allowing me to, it's my opinion, and it's not accusing anybody. It's alleged, perceived.
Yes.
Everything else. But the reality is we all see it.
Yes, we all see it.
And we're getting hurt by it.
Yes.
$11 for a half gallon of milk? You got to be joking, man. This boy don't drink milk no more, you know.
Yes, sir. Too expensive.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But listen, keep doing what you're doing, but this is a serious issue.
Yes.
And you know, I grew up Johnson Road. You know where you came from. We've been friends for a long time. We all understand each
yes,
other.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so it's not naivety talking, and I'm a senior lawyer. I've seen a lot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
So keep it up, my brother.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. I'm glad to have you. You made a lot of good sense here. And that's upscale Bahamian who is concerning for the Bahamian people. He see the problems we face, and this is a very serious thing, you know. Like he said, anyone taking drugs in America, you're deemed a terrorist. Okay? They're giving us a break in the Bahamas because we are close partners with them. They need our waters because we have they use our waters for the submarines. They have the nuclear subs. We protect them, okay? So they don't want to mess with our sovereignty, but they're giving a sense. And you listen to the Honorable Fred Mitchell, and he said that he's talking to the U.S. ambassador to see how and what if the Bahamians are going to be affected by the travel restrictions they're putting on the visa and all these things that Amico was talking about just now, Mr. Mosco. I was talking about just now. That's the warning they're giving us. And that's why the U.S. ambassador is here. Remember, we had an ambassador going about 15 years, and that's why the ambassador is down here now. To tell us shaping up. You know, so Betray Rahman from the Office of the Prime Minister, just for this comment, you know, says action of one officer do not define integrity of the Bahamas. You completely wrong. That one officer, hey, he defines integrity of the Bahamas. Yes, he does. Because he holds authority, and he has connections. And if he bad, then his whole crew bad. That means anyone under him, anyone who he directed, anyone he in charge of, they corrupt too, because many was doing this corruption. They were there as well. So they pick up his ways, and they're going to do the same thing when he's not around. You're going to take this next call. It's going to be the last call. Go ahead, call out. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Good night, how you doing?
Good night.
Good night, how you doing?
Good night, I'm fine.
I was listening, right? But I think this corruption is really prevalent because of we are turning a blind eye for persons who do all these mistakes. For example, yourself. I know you changed and everything, right?
Yes, sir.
But then if you were a person who made some money, though you did all the harm and work, once you get the money, they turn a blind eye like you were such a good person.
Of course.
They put you in a position.
Of course.
You see, so what it shows that crime pays.
Yes,
so
it does.
What you want people to do when they grow up seeing this thing happen? You know, we gotta show that if you, yes, we give you a second chance.
Yes, sir.
But you will not be seen as someone who didn't do wrong.
Yes, yes.
You see, so that's another problem.
Yes,
and
yes.
I see the third caller talking about Trump, right, and the corruption and the drugs, right?
Yes, sir.
So I listened to when I heard you. He said something that I think you're missing. He mentioned about China. Trump trying to avoid us from galvanizing towards China.
That's true, that's true. Bad in Russia.
He mentioned that.
Yes, yes, yes.
He mentioned about
yes,
corruption.
Sir.
America is the one to corrupt this place.
That's
Trump
true.
Proved that.
That's true.
He proved that America is a corrupt place.
Yes.
And they could do it.
Yes, sir.
But his fight is to break China from getting that power.
Yes.
The China getting too big, and they realize that. You understand? So, but as relates to these drugs and so forth, I feel we have to be more serious with crime and the penalty and stop making it look like it's good.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
I know we're talking about marijuana, say, a lot of young fellas, them getting a record for just smoking marijuana. But the law says it's illegal.
Yes.
So you can't see a certain person who want to break the law. You can't feel something who want to break the law.
Mm.
You got to live with the consequences of your action.
Yes, sir.
And another thing, people don't understand how dangerous this marijuana is.
Mm.
This marijuana has a lot of poison tripping out.
Yes.
These young people, them tripping over marijuana. And I ain't talking about no lizard tail, I think they talk about. It's straight up marijuana.
Yes. Young kids shouldn't be consuming it. Any kids from the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, junior high school, senior high school should not use it. I think that if you're 21 years age, then you should use it.
Listen, the science is, so marijuana is a brain retarder.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain don't stop developing until you reach that 25.
That's right. That's why I said after 21 and 22,
so
yes.
At 25, that's your brain stops developing.
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay, so if, and like anything else, some things may do me nothing.
Yes.
But you try it. It'll send you crazy. And that's the problem we have now.
Especially with the poverty and many people using the marijuana, it's not a relaxer for them. It's something to get rid of stress, and that's causing them not be able to function as good citizens and make the right decision in life. You're right, sir.
This marijuana downer. It is a downer.
Yes.
I need to relax with you.
It's for those who relaxing and doing good for themselves, but for the poor, it's not a good relaxer.
You
it keeps you down.
Epilepsy, right?
Yes. It is.
Pain, right?
Yes.
You know why it helps to those things?
Yes.
Because it relaxes the nerve.
Yeah. Post-traumatic stress as well.
Pain, or your epilepsy could be,
yes,
be slow once you relax the nerve.
Yes.
It has a benefit.
Yes, yes.
I agree with you. But the spin-off...
For young kids. We don't want no young kids using it, period, from until you're on, but it's at 21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
You notice now that people in the road don't really hide from it now?
No, no.
Walking, people just smoking.
No, because a lot of people are mentally ill in the country. Right now, this country is a lot of mentally ill people around this country, boss. A lot of people are mentally ill.
Good, you will be getting breakfast somewhere.
And they come in there rolling up a joint. Yes, you're right.
Y'all gonna come right there.
No respect. No respect.
No concern. No respect.
No respect. You're right. You're right.
You gonna sign the side.
Yes, I understand. I understand. Yes, you're right.
The police passing.
Yes.
Because the average police right now, and this is my observation, they feel like locking down for marijuana, they don't do it anymore.
No.
So that's why people just feel it's okay to do it in the public, amongst people.
Yes, sir.
You know, and we, you know, one time I went to Reggae Fest in Jamaica,
mm-hmm,
and the fellas smoking marijuana by me, right? I have a problem with it, right? So I tried to find somewhere to go. I said, let me go with these old people.
Yeah.
The old people smoke about what I can find. No place.
Yeah, they have a circle. They have a circle for you to go smoke in Jamaica. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's their culture. That's their culture. That's their culture. That's their culture.
We don't want to get like that.
Yeah, yeah. But depressing and with poverty causes that. You know, we don't want no kids to use it.
There's no more morality in
this
country.
That's why people using it now. A lot of people just using it to kill the time.
Morality.
Yes, sir.
We don't care what happens.
Yes.
You remember back in the day, you could tell us Sunday?
Yes, sir.
You tell us there's a Sunday.
You can't tell us.
It's a low day, a slow day.
Yes,
now,
sir.
You can't tell us Sunday.
No.
Sunday like every day.
Montana's so rough, boss. Things rough, you know. Things rough.
The bars open before the church now.
Hmm.
So we need to get back. We don't go back in the old days. But we got to get back to basics.
Yes.
What keeps us unique from everybody else.
Yes, I agree.
As the Bahamas, we loosen our uniqueness.
Yes, sir. And our integrity and our honesty, we losing it.
We losing it.
And our dignity.
We
more for the money now.
I can't say how you was, right? Because I remember you. I was a police too. I remember you, okay?
Yes, sir.
I didn't do all 40 years. But I remember the bad people in your days, they respect the old people.
No, we respect old people.
You don't curse around old people.
We have to respect.
You don't disrespect old people.
Yes, sir.
You're doing other things.
Yes, sir.
But now today,
this
people
is
don't care.
No respect.
We played music when you passed in church.
Yes, sir.
We cut our music off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But now?
Yes, sir.
They draw the church with their music.
That's why we need to build up communities again.
There's always hope.
Yes, sir.
It's always hope. Like you are yourself.
Yes, sir.
You is a sad example that you could go one way and be a positive coming up.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So
yes, sir.
Your testimony should affect somebody. Somebody should see your testimony as a framework for them to get itself together.
Yes, sir.
You know, so you keep the kids. I thought you just didn't let them know. You thought that was the right way too.
Yes, sir.
You thought it was the way. Oh,
and I know it ain't the right way at all. No, sir.
You know, so
it doesn't be.
So keep up. That's a testimony. Because a lot of persons feel like there's no way out of what they're in. So sometimes people listen.
Yes, sir.
You know, let me just say this. I was talking to some fellas who lock up, right?
Yes, sir.
I had opportunity. And I tried to cause some coming to crime and so forth. You know what I realized? Some of them can't get out of crime. If they don't stay alive, they got to stay in there. Either they move to leave the country, or they got to carry their gun.
Yes, sir.
To try to stay alive.
Yes, sir.
That's where they put themselves in. That's where they get themselves caught up in.
Yes, sir.
And we say, why the man just get locked up and he going back and get a gun?
He's afraid for his life.
He's trying to stay alive.
Yes, he's afraid for his life because see, what goes around comes around. That's all that happened.
So did we see the vicious cycle?
Yes, sir.
Somebody got to break it. I think, I mean, I hate to say it, but we lost a generation.
Yes, sir.
We lost a generation. We got to try and save the generation coming.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Thank you.
I encourage you to continue what you're doing. I'm proud of you.
Yes, sir.
Keep it up, buddy.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you too as well and all the calls. You guys did a wonderful job, you know, and I like that. I like the conversation we have from people around the country who are concerned, and I'm glad that we have the topic that a lot of people can relate to, you know, because this is all about us, and I'm glad that we have an opportunity to speak. We're going to take this last call. We have about 4 minutes, and we're going to take this call real quick. Call if you can make it real quick, and we can get you in for a few minutes, please. Go ahead, call out. Call, you there?
Hello, Scoochie.
Hey, bless up.
Yeah, I was listening on to all the while, and I enjoyed all the contributions, especially the last gentleman. You know, we had respect for the police, Scoochie.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the thing is, you know, and the comment by Nico, I agree with everything Nico was saying, but the only thing I disagreed with was the Trump geopolitical hegemonic actions, right? But
yeah,
it could be done another way, but Trump revoked some old laws, I guess, that, you know, as comes under terrorism, et cetera, like Nico explained. But,
yes,
you know, he needed to be more civil about it and stop the geopolitical bullying, et cetera, the world police type thing there, right? Because it's the 21st century that seems to be turning into the 21st century. But as related to the other officer, I mean, the officer with the sign up, right? Yeah, he's correct about a lot of things.
Yes,
we noticed the difference on Sundays, et cetera, et cetera. But don't demonize the weed because, you know, smoking the weed, it's not demonic in itself. It is the abuse of it.
Yes.
And I agree with him, but the thing is, young people, it's like, just like alcohol, shouldn't be abusing it or using
it
at all.
They should be using
their brains are not developed. They cannot handle it. But really and truly, people like, you know, them, and I know I met Daniels up by complaint unit the other day. So he was being a little joke with him. I said, you know, you all thought our generation was bad. But he's correct about the disrespect for the elderly.
Yes.
But the thing is about smoking marijuana, if you read up on the history of it, it was actually used as a meditation and a connection to God by shamans, etc. It's being demonized because of our lack of knowledge about it. So you can't just put it across the borders, marijuana. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
When you have more serious things going on versus from someone smoking a marijuana, I see the disrespect, et cetera, but it's time to move beyond the joints, et cetera, to jail someone for a joint and to feed him for a week or 2 months or 3 months because he can't get bail in jail it's counterproductive. You see what I'm saying, Scusi?
Yes, sir.
And then you would have known the system, because I heard you talk about how they manipulate the system to make the money.
Yeah.
It's no different from when they took the discretion from the magistrate and you have to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how much to go for a bail, right, right, Scusi? You need to get a lawyer. I said, but 10 to 15 grand.
Yeah.
It's all the money thing there. Give thanks, brother.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much for all the callers. You guys made a wonderful contribution here tonight. The only thing we have this conversation, because it's affecting us in the country, and if we don't talk about it and try to fix it, and we could be in serious trouble. So I just want to say this to the office of the Prime Minister, Mr. Trey Rami. When you say the actions of one officer do not define integrity, but that one officer had a position of power, and he had other officers under him. And when he go, then he abused the power. Okay? It's like this. Let me explain. There's a police bus comes around. Just say a police bus comes. This is something that happened. I've seen happen over and over. Just say a police bus comes around and, you know, they bust a guy with drugs. Honestly speaking, sometimes the police use their discretion. Okay? They use the discretion. Sometimes they give people a break, and we must understand that we behaving as well. And they use the discretion. Sometimes people be driving with a driver's license. So you have to give them some credit too, even when it comes to corruption, because even though sometimes we say they're corrupt, they help us out as well sometimes, you know. They use the discretion, you know. Sometimes you run the red light, they give you a warning. You know, sometimes they could hold you for a little joint, also like 52 stated, and they'd say, man, look, do a better job and go in the back of the yard. You know, sometimes they use their discretion. So we must give them credit for that. But things pass on from officer to officer. If an officer goes to a specific spot and he busts a drug dealer, a small local time drug dealer, and he busted off that drug dealer, you don't believe now that when that officer leaves from there, that same officer who he was there with, right? When they change shift or he go to a different station, that officer right there is going right back to the same drug spot. Right? And sometimes, you know, he would do certain things like the tax the individual for money. These things go on our streets, and that's why we need stronger communities where we could build communities so we could counteract these things, because there's no one who really could persecute the police or really go for citizens to really go put in a complaint against a corrupt officer, because some of us say it is a waste of time. Ain't nothing gonna happen, so a lot of people don't want to go. But if we build up a strong community, right? And just as well, we could have defense force officers and immigration officers, and we could have police officers who are part of the community, who are well-trained, who are well-disciplined, who are recommended by the community to be able to join this institute with integrity, honesty, and stuff. So we have to build stronger communities. You understand? So again, to Mr. Latre Roming from the Office of the Prime Minister, I think, again, I wish you all the best in your career and pursuing your career as a government official. Maybe one day you want to go in politics. But, sir, don't never take up for what's wrong. You understand? Don't never take up for what's wrong in the country. We have a problem with corruption. Let's fix it. We need private individual, independent investigation officers to be put in all these departments who are not a part of no government. Their job is to go and find corrupt cops, put them before the tribunal, and then before the tribunal, then we can put them before the courts. We need a mechanism in place to bring a balance, check and balance on our armed forces. You understand? And like I say, some corruption we accept in the country, because like I say, some people want to get their car license and they don't want to go through the procedure going online, so they'll go and they'd use somebody they know in the government department to speed it up. We might call that corruption, but, you know, it is corruption, but just some things we allow, you know. Sometimes you might want to pay to get your driver's license and stuff like that, you know. It might be a needy cause. We might not want to go through all the procedures of driving, grant you all the driving tests. It might be a quick fix and you might need it, you know. So all these things we got to look at, you know. So I'm your host, Valentino Brown. Hosts of the talk show Inside the Inner City, and we talk about real life, we talk about problems that are affecting us, how are we going to be able to fix them, and how are we going to also move forward, because the only thing we want is a better Bahamas. Let's stop destroying one another in this country, okay? Let's just stop, and let's try to fix our problem.
We have a problem with corruption. Let's fix it. We have corruption in the police force, defense force, government, and we have it in the streets as well. All the guys out there who are on the streets, who taking hits, using the power to take life, all that is corruption. Okay? So, I'm your host, Valentino Ron, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City of Mass every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And we talk about enormous topics. And I want to say thanks to each and every one of you called. Miko, Moscow, I want to say to you a very good night. And to everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. And just remember, Inside the Inner City is a show that talks reality. And the callers who call in are persons who are concerned about the country. And we are here to contribute and let the powers to be to know that you cannot say that the actions of one officer do not define integrity or what's the guy name now? What's the guy name? Go on right now, Chris. Or the immigration department, the immigration director, Stephen Laredo, said he is satisfied that the matter involving the dismissed immigration officer has been concluded and that there was no further need for police action. There is, because there are many immigration officers doing the same thing what the officer is doing, and we need to get a hold on it. Okay, do their job, act with integrity, and bring the Bahamas to be one of the most respected places like how it was back in the 1970s. Okay? I'm here. So I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Enjoy, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you're gonna get they find smoke, Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.